This is typical Dallas Seminary. This is, I mean, I got my doctorate at Dallas. This is Dr. Walberg's life work. And I'll just read it to you. He says that there are events immediately before the seven-year period. The church is raptured. That comes from, I go to prepare a place, and at the last trump, and the dead shall be raised, and we are kept from the wrath. So the church is raptured, and we look forward to that, not for the tribulation. The restrainer is removed, 2 Thessalonians. The judgment seat of Christ is in heaven, and believers are there before the throne. The Antichrist rises to power over what appears to be the revived Roman Empire, the Roman Confederacy. Now, the interesting thing about that is if you look at the Mediterranean basin, if you look overlay the Roman Empire at its zenith, two-thirds of it today is Muslim. All of northern Africa, all the Middle East, all the way up into Roman province of Asia Minor. And if you're reading the news, millions, about 2 to 5 million, are headed to Europe from war-torn areas of the Middle East. And so Europe is becoming Muslim to the core. And so it's very interesting what that future Roman Confederacy is. But the Antichrist rises to power. Daniel talks about that in 7 and 20. And by the way, these little footnotes Walberg put in. What he said is, everything on here, all dispensationalists agree on, is just the exact order they don't. So this is just basically what John MacArthur and Chuck Swindoll and Tim Left Behind LaHaye and, you know, all those from Dallas Seminary all would believe. At the beginning of the seven-year period, the Antichrist, the coming ruler, makes a covenant with Israel. I already showed you that on the chart. So that's at the beginning. Now, these are just in the first half. So that first 3.5 year period of the 7 year period, Israel is living at peace, says in Unwalled Villages. That's really interesting because of all the security walls. I mean, everybody's building walls these days. Saudi Arabia's building walls. Israel's building more walls. I mean, Hungary, the nation, is building walls for all these refugees coming in. Temple sacrifices are instituted. That's really interesting. That finally the Jews get their temple back in Jerusalem, which would take a miracle. There is a global church, and it's not a very wholesome one if you read Revelation 17. Then Gog and his allies invade Palestine, the land of Israel from the north. That's what Ezekiel 38 talks about. And again, another little footnote that not everybody agrees. Some equate that with Armageddon. And Gog and his allies are destroyed by God. And it is very possible with what's shaping up. I mean, we now have Russians fighting in Syria against ISIS. And we have Americans fighting in Syria against the side Russia is fighting for. And so it's almost America and Russia are facing off in Syria today. We have special forces and everybody else over there operating in whatever they call them, trainers and helpers and all that. So it's a very interesting time right now. Very, very much interesting. Now, in the middle of the seven-year period, also Revelation 12 talks about Satan being consigned to the earth, energizing the Antichrist. At the midpoint, the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel, and Daniel 9:27 says that the ruler of the people that destroyed Jerusalem that's to come. And so this Antichrist is a Roman Empire-attached person. The 10 kings and the Antichrist destroy the world church. 144,000 Israelites are saved and sealed. Now, again, the order of these, you know, it doesn't say in the Bible this happens in this state. Three and a half years, the second half, are called the Great Tribulation. That's what Revelation 7 says. It's called Great Distress, the time of distress, and the time of Jacob's troubles. That's in Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. And what the second half is like is, and this is not just in this time, but it's heightened. Rebellion against the truth in the professing church. You know, in other words, there's still going to be all the church buildings, but people are apostate to the core. The Antichrist becomes the world ruler. That's the first seal. In Revelation 6, and on it goes, he's the lawless one. The reason I'm going, I'm trying to get to the blood moon. Do you see it? Did everybody see it? Now we finally come to it. Look, remember? Right there it is. See, it can't be. It can't be on the 28th of this month. I mean, there's going to be a harvest moon. It's going to be beautiful, but it can't be that one. Because see where that's fitting. There is war and famine and death. That's the second, third, and fourth seals. And remember, all these footnotes are just saying that there's disagreement on exactly among dispensationalists where they are. Converted multitudes from every nation are martyred. That's the fifth seal. And again, that's another footnoted one. And then after that comes this. After we have the actual unfolding of the Antichrist and all the tribulation terrors, natural disturbances come. That's the last time this blood moon is mentioned. And there's worldwide fear of divine wrath, the sixth seal, that giant earthquake I read to you about, the sky rolling back like a scroll, and the Antichrist image and abomination set up for worship, and the two witnesses begin their ministry. See, that's the biblical context of the blood moon. False prophet does his thing, and the mark of the beast occurs. Israel scatters as they're being hunted. Jerusalem gets overrun by Gentiles. The Antichrist and false prophet keep deceiving. The gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed. And what's interesting is, during this second half, there are more concentration of conversions to Christ than any other time in history. Numberless multitudes of people. You just can't count them. But they're killed. They're persecuted and then beheaded. And Israel is chased by the Antichrist, and of course the Lord protects them. Then these trumpet judgments telescopically began. In other words, the trumpet come right out of the seal, and it's kind of like a popping out of rapid fire judgments. The bowl judgments follow those in Revelation 16. They're poured out by God on the Antichrist Empire, and the people start cursing God. Oh, there it is again. This is where Joel, that verse, shows up in most conservative eschatology. The concluding events. The two witnesses are slain, the two witnesses are resurrected, and signs appear in the earth and sky. And part of that is the smoke and fire and pillars of smoke and the great earthquakes, and the moon becomes like blood. What is it probably? A long period of time, the sun getting black and the moon like blood probably is because of all these earthquakes and solar disturbances that there might be volcanoes or whatever that makes the atmosphere so filled with dust that the moon looks red and the sun looks dark. And then, of course, Christ returns with the armies of heaven. That's what Matthew 24 talks about. And, of course, that's the second coming of Revelation.